Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 8, especially these words. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If anybody was beyond Jesus, if anybody was that one guy who couldn't be saved, isn't it this guy? This nameless man who has a legion of demons, thousands of demons dwelling in him. This guy who can't be bound or guarded, living among the death of the tombs. He himself was dead in sins and trespasses, living among those unclean pigs. It's almost like the prodigal son, isn't it? If anybody shouldn't be saved, here he is, this guy. And yet when Jesus steps foot on land, we see exactly who's in control. It's Jesus. Ordinarily, coming into contact with something unclean should make that person unclean as well. Coming into contact with death, or somebody demon-possessed, or something unclean like pigs should make that person unclean. And yet none of this makes Jesus unclean. Jesus enters this man's uncleanliness and takes on this legion of demons. He enters this man's sin and death and takes it on himself. Who else? Who else could drive out a legion of demons? Who else could rescue this man from his living hell but God? You see, Jesus does exactly that. Luke's point here is that no one is beyond the reach of Jesus. Not one. No matter how bad things are, no matter how bad you are not beyond the reach of Jesus. For this man, possessed by this legion of demons, living in the tombs amid uncleanliness and amid death, was not beyond the reach of Jesus. Jesus entered this region for this one man. That's the whole reason Jesus is in the Gennesarets, for this one guy, this terrible demoniac. And Jesus drives out those demons, put this man in his right mind, and the people are shocked, aren't they? To find the demon-possessed man in his right mind, clothed, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? This guy goes from being dead in his sins to being a disciple of Jesus. In a matter of a second, it happens. When those demons leave this man, he knows exactly what's happened and who he has to thank. It's Jesus. Did you notice it at the very end of our text? That last line I read before we began the sermon? Jesus tells the man to go home and tell everyone how much God had done for him. But what does the man do? Right there in verse 39. The man goes out into the entire city and tells how much Jesus had done for him. You see, the man understands that it's only God who can drive out demons. It's only God who could have rescued him from sin, devil, and death. It's only God could put him in his right mind. And that means for this man, Jesus must be God. Jesus is not some mere prophet. He's not some holy guy, not even just a teacher. For this man who's been cleansed, Jesus is God. And this demon-possessed guy becomes not just a disciple, but an apostle, one who is sent out to proclaim the good news of Christ to his entire city, to everyone who would listen or not listen. This guy was there speaking about how much Jesus had done for him. You can imagine, can't you, what that must have been like as he accosted everybody on the street corners, in the marketplace. Did you hear what Jesus did for me? I was filled up with demons, and guess what? He drove them all out. Did you hear that Jesus is God? He's come to save us from our sins. You think they listened? We're not told. This account in Luke gives us pause to think of ourselves. We, just like this demon-possessed guy, were filled up with all manner of evil and sin. Before Christ called us as his own through baptism, this guy was us. We were sinful through and through, and what could we do? We were living in death, quite literally. And who could save us? Who could save that demon-possessed man? Not the guards who guarded him, not his friends or family, not the Pharisees or Sadducees. There was only one, Jesus. Only God could save him. And so it is with us as well. There is only one who can save us from sin, devil, and death. Jesus. Jesus comes to you in complete control. He knows the problems and struggles you're facing. Of course he does. He's God. He drives out those demons, those sins, with a simple word and joins you to his death. The death he died for you once for all. That you, like this man healed, would be in your right mind, clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that what we do here? No matter what the weather conditions are, if it's 20 degrees and 3 feet of snow, or 90 degrees, we're here. Nothing stops us from sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving him through word and sacrament. He comes to us again to declare that your sins, all of them, are forgiven. He feeds and nourishes you with his body and blood and gives you what you need, forgiveness of your sins. Jesus does all of this for you, that you wouldn't just sit here, but that you would go out there. That you would be a disciple and an apostle, one who listens and learns from Jesus, one who is sent out into your family, into your vocations, to speak and live Jesus Christ. This demoniac is the model of the Christian life. Luke invites us to be him and put ourselves in the gospel right here. And here we are. Jesus has saved us from sin, devil, and death. He has rescued us by the power of his death, washing us clean. He has given us our right mind to sing and praise him. He has clothed us in the robe of his righteousness. He has done it all for you, that you would rejoice in him and speak his praises, learning from him at his feet and then going out there to speak of Christ in his name. Amen.